Without him, it's not we could do some things. Without him, we could do nothing. Hey, just a few thoughts here. Bob's going to pick me up in the morning. Anybody who's a veteran can go to Hy-Vee tomorrow morning for a free breakfast. So, isn't that thoughtful? Some of these businesses provide for veterans like that. And we expected to bring Melissa, Irene's niece, with us tonight. Her little boy and daughter and Melissa are staying at the Ronald McDonald's house. But as they were talking, what was it? The children were sleeping, I think. So not tonight, but sometime this week we'll get together there. Our granddaughter Taylor finds out tomorrow if she has traces of cancer. So family's kind of on edge. See how that goes. I was all dirty working outside this last week, and I felt like, hey, I should go see my neighbor. And so I did, knocked on his door, and so I did not look like a preacher. And he didn't know who I was at the door there, and so we talked for a while. He's a young man from Montana. And I think his name's James. But anyway, we have a rapport going, and he's a nice young man. So I didn't pressure him or push him or anything like that about church or the Lord, but gaining a friendship with him first. And so that went well. I was thankful about that. Well, let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, Lord, why without you we could do nothing. Without you we'd have no hope. But praise God for the difference you've made in our lives, for the purpose that you've given to us, and we do have hope. We have excitement about the future. The door of eternity is just waiting. How soon before us, Lord, and we'll be on the other side of the veil looking back, thinking, my, that life went fast. But all of eternity before us, and that shall never end. Lord, I praise you for who you are and all the good things you've done for us. And we know, Lord, we're so unworthy. And none of this will be available to us except for the agony of the blood, the sacrifice of your Son upon the cross. Why should Jesus die for me? How is it that you love us so? Oh God, we just know that we're unworthy, we're undeserving. We're unprofitable servants, we're crooked sticks. How in the world could you use us? How, Lord, could you love us? The Lord, we have the confirmation from your word that you do. And you love us with an everlasting love. And Lord, you see us through every need of every day. We're indebted to you forever. It'll be a great day, Lord, when all of us can gather before the throne upon our knees and to better express in the purity of heaven the gratitude of our hearts and to hear millions upon millions upon millions of the redeemed singing the praises of the Savior. Our hearts just want to say, Lord, Maranatha. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Before this sermon is over, may it be the day, Lord. May this be the evening we're gathered unto you. And Lord, should it be that you tarry. We have a week before us, Lord, to serve you. And we are grateful too. Life is good. Eternity is better. But now is our time, Lord, to bring you glory. We want to make it count. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Join me here in James chapter 1 this evening. And we find here in verse 13 and following, some ideas about who goes fishing. And it says here, verse 13, James chapter 1, addressing temptation. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God worketh not the righteous work. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I want to think about fishing tonight. First of all, just for some clarity, definition, and terms. What is a hook? Well, it's a curved piece of metal used to catch fish. We all know that. Or a hook is a clever advertisement to entice a fisherman to buy a new rod and reel. Someone said a hook, that's the punch of the fisherman's wife after he spends too much time fishing and wastes their income by buying new boats and things. What is a line? A line is something you give your coworkers. That's on Monday after they ask, how'd fishing go this weekend? What is a lure? A lure is an object that's kind of semi-enticing to the fish, but it sure draws in the fishermen. That's the lure. You know, we're fishing in the North Country, and our deacon, Len McMillan, was ice fishing with us. And an amazing thing, I mean, I'm there, Irene's there, we have our mittens on, everything, we're cold, even though we're all bundled up. And Brother Len, he just reaches right into the fishing hole, right into the freezing water, and he says, no, that doesn't bother me. Here, I'll show you. Shake hands. And we pulled off our mittens. We shook hands with Lynn. Irene will tell you, his hands were warm. Now, some people make treks to the North Pole, and, you know, I tell you what, it's not a level board. I mean, it's not like how much determination you have. Guys like me would freeze to death. The way Lynn is made, I don't know what it is about him, but he seems impervious to the cold. Lynn is also showing us how to chum the hole for the ice fishing, and so we had salmon eggs there, and what you do is you take a handful of salmon eggs, squeeze them like that down there in the water, and then walk away for an hour or so, and then come back and wait for the schools of fish to come by. And so the fish are attracted to those salmon eggs. It's exciting time for fishermen. It's good fishing. Because when we drop a little plastic round salmon egg that's on our hook down into that hole there, why, the fish go after it. I don't know if that's legal all over the place. I have no idea, but it's legal there. And so here we are with great expectations on catching fish, and man, it really worked. So we'd catch our Dolly Vartans and our rainbow trout striking on that hook. It was easy. But why was it so easy? Well, it was really easy because the fish were hungry. And they've been eating, and since they're eating those little red salmon eggs, they saw the red plastic hook on our line, well, they had become already insensitive about the matters of the hook. Well, any fishing is really a challenge, but it's also a process, and it takes some time, but there's a process that takes place every time. And so what God has done is God has given every fish God-given instinct to avoid danger in every animal. Yeah, animals get caught in traps. They don't deliberately step in traps, but you can catch them. Fish don't deliberately go and hook themselves on a metal hook, but we can catch them. But it must, first of all, look enticing to the fish. And so it must somehow distract the fish from the dangers of the hook so the fish will go out after that hook, take the bait. Well, there's four simple steps I'd like to talk about. Separates the fisherman from being defeated or from the determined fisherman that gets a strike. First, you make the cast. Somehow, there are all kinds of different kinds of fishing, you know. But maybe just drop the hook in the hole. But anyway, you present the bait. And then secondly, there must be an inner desire within the fish that it's attracted to the bait. And there's some different factors in this and how to get the fish attracted to the bait. First of all, it has to look appealing, right? Or the fish is not interested. And so it depends a lot upon which bait is used. Now, I think I would probably be famous on using the wrong kind of bait for the wrong kind of fish. And you could, you know, fish for hours and not catch anything if you have the wrong kind of bait. Or if you handle that bait wrongly. There's a whole different process of like fishing for cod or halibut in the waters of Alaska. As we drop our line way down there to the bottom until you feel that sinker kind of hit the bottom. There's a long line from your boat to the ocean floor. That's different from, you know, trolling behind the boat and just dragging your line back there in order to catch a salmon. So different kind of fish, different kind of appeal. But one thing about it, don't you think the bait ought to look juicy to the fish? That's important. So it has to look like, you know, there's a lot to offer here for the fish to be interested. Secondly, it depends a lot upon how you handle your line in order to get the attention of the fish. That's one of the key things, get the attention of the fish. It might be some kind of fish where, you know, you use a lure and it promises lots of action. And that fish will go for that, lots of action. Thirdly, why the fish has to yield and bite. The fish is the prey. Somehow you have to break down the fish until it'll come after the bait. And then fourthly, you know, the predictable results. I mean, if you're a good fisherman, the day is right, and the fish are biting, hooked, landed, fried eventually, cook up your fish, and man, that's great. Great when it's hot in a pan. Now, here's a striking comparison. Do you know that the devil also goes fishing? And he uses the same process when he goes fishing. And there's four steps that I'd like to point out tonight about catch and control in order to get his prey. First of all, what's the devil do? The devil presents his bait. How does he do that? He does that through a tempting proposition to get our attention. And so it's called what? It's called here enticement. That's what the devil uses to entice us, to get our attention. It's a fishing term, which means to lure by a bait. And so what kind of bait does the devil want to use on me? Well, James here says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, verse 14. Well, we have to wonder at times, why are these temptations so successful on me? Why do I yield? Well, it's Satan's strategy, and one of the strategies is to conceal the danger of the bait. And so he has to make it look appealing. And so here's what happens. The unsuspecting prey does not foresee the tragic consequences of going out after the bait. So here's the bait that the devil, you know, selects. And it seems like that is just too good to resist. Isn't that the way it works? So the temptation. Secondly, our inner desire is attracted to the bait. So this is called what? Lust. And our lust will seek after, you know, our natural desires, but lots of times an unhealthy desire or a bad appetite. And so the tempter simply appeals to what looks like it tastes good, to our appetites, to our sinful natures. And so the bait, maybe it's this way, the bait promises lots of action when he throws it out there before us. Or the bait looks like, man, that is juicy. That is just too good to resist. It's very desirable. It's juicy bait or lots of action. So a good word here would be, I think, beware, beware for those who might slip after the bait, because if you are slipping out, if you're already slipping out after the devil's bait, probably you're as good as gone. I mean, it's too late to stop, probably, when you're already on the move. And so, then when lust hath conceived, right? That's what James says here in verse 15. It bringeth forth sin. So when lust hath conceived, what is sin? Anything contrary to the will of God. So you see, you know, nibbling at the bait, that's already serious danger. And that'd be like an alcoholic who, yeah, he never anticipated when he's taking his first drinks that he would be down there on Skid Row, that he would be an alcoholic someday. First of all, it's just social drinking and it's parties and it's fun. And then it gets compulsive and leads to all this trauma in his life, the pain, even death of people. Now, do you know that, you know, the devil uses a lure, and do you know maybe what kind of lure the devil likes to use on you? And does it seem like a good response, maybe, for, you know, earning wealth? Or is it lust for, you know, just to be famous, or the feel of power in your life, or something like that? For many people, it's their sexual appetites or the pressures for job security, something, you know, to bend the rules and the prestige. And so what the devil does is he has these lures to get our attention. And it's probably something pretty brightly colored. It's really something really appealing. It's probably a lot of chrome and shininess. And it's cheap substitutes for the real satisfaction that's genuine, comes from God. And yet what? The bait looks attractive when you're hungry. Well, thirdly, here's what happens. The prey weakens, right? Yields, goes out after the bait. Now, any good fisherman knows if you're going to be a successful fisherman, you got to be patient. You got to be a patient fisherman. Every good fisherman knows that. So, also important is timing when you're there. You know, is it noonday or is it a certain time of the year? Is it when they're spawning? What is the right time to go fishing? The devil knows that when he goes fishing in our lives, factors of timing. Well, one thing about it, if you want to be a successful fisherman, you better allow for plenty of time. Doesn't the devil have a lot of patience and wanting to reel us in and want to destroy our lives? He's calculating and playing the fish, playing the bait. He knows how much tension to put on the line, keep the line moving for the big strike. Man, we wish we'd get along. It wouldn't be great in the rapture. I mean, if we can say goodbye to my old nature, never again. And it won't be a great day of rejoicing in heaven. All the saints of God and the redeemed are there. And what? The devil's thrown in the bottomless pit. Ah, hallelujah, hooray, hooray, hooray. I mean, won't we be a cheer? I think we will. I think we'll be so. But, you know, here's the deception about sin. It's easy also to miss the ripple effects. There's ripple effects that continues, and sometimes it may take years to mature. The real harsh problem with our sin. But the world recognizes these problems, and life offers what? God sees it too. The pleasures of sin. There's pleasures in sin. We know that. But the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what Hebrews says. Chapter 11, verse 26. What does that mean, for a season? It means, buddy, you better know it's pretty short-lived. It's pretty short-lived. James puts it this way, verse 15, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So here's what happens. It's the early excitement for the bait, and then it becomes the most dreaded of our burdens. And the order is here, lust, sin, death. L, lust. S, sin. D, death. It's like the LSD of the world, the flesh and the devil, to destroy us. Certain destruction except for the grace of God. So do you know that, you know, going after the devil's bait, what's it do? It just makes you a victim. The prey of the devil. To fall to the devil. Or to fall to the flesh. To fall to the world. Well, fourthly, the dreaded, or the result of this is the strike. Wow, that's what we want for the fish, but we don't want it in our lives to be hooked, to be landed, and for the fish to be fried. It means death to the victim. And at death, we think of the immaterial part of a person being separated from the body. Death to the spiritually lost out there, or spiritually dead, or separated from a relationship with God. And then the second death, as the Bible talks about, the second death is to be separated. Death is separation. The second death to be separated from God forever in a lake of fire. Lost from heaven. Matthew puts it this way, chapter 25, verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So we think about the decisions we're making today, and we understand these are what affects our futures. We must remember that God is looking at our lives. And if God is not pleased with my life on judgment day, then I failed. And Jesus Christ offers us all the satisfaction, the meaning for life, hallelujah, and the abundant life for today, John chapter 10, verse 10. A delightful future with the Lord when we see our Savior. Now regarding salvation, we think about, have I rejected the devil's lures? Have I received the Lord? And if we went over the threats of temptation, you know, we turn to Jesus. If we go for the temptation to resist the Lord, it'll ruin you. But you're going to experience freedom in Christ. So think about, here's five workable steps that we can apply to overcome temptation, overcome the devil. First, they all start with R, receive, number one. And that is to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man who paid for our sins there upon the cross. And we have victory over sin, death, and the devil. We'll never face Armageddon, never face the lake of fire. Glory to God. Can't lose. But as many as what? Received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. Secondly, resolve. Determine in advance that you will not yield to the devil's bait. Remind yourself that, what? The final pain is so much greater, it'll erase all of the temporary pleasure. The final pain will erase all of the temporary pleasure. And so we must tell ourselves constantly, it will not satisfy. And in the end, I will face unbelievable, painful consequences if I go for the bait. Tell ourselves early, determine ahead of time, I will not yield. I mean, it's too late to be thinking about it once the bait's there. You already got to know ahead of time there are certain things we will not become involved with. Solomon warned, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10. In other words, say no. Just say no to sin. We talked about this in Sunday school class, Brother Jim, this morning. Thirdly, resist. Deal with that first attraction. Deal with that first attraction before any other action. So do not linger in the presence of temptation. You know where temptation is? Do not linger there, friend. And so that's dangerous. Fight against it. Choose to yield to God. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Fourthly, rely, trust God for deliverance, look for his help, hold fast, knowing Like Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help, grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:15-16. And God will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So look for the way out. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. 2 Peter 2:9. And the Bible reminds us too that about those who yielded to the devil's bait. We think here of Adam and Eve. The Bible says they did eat. Or of Achan, took the accursed thing. Genesis 3:6, Joshua 7:1. So in both cases, the consequences of their sin were extremely painful. And the consequences of their sin to their families extended throughout their families because of their sin. Touched all of their families. So the devil launches a full-scale attack very successfully with people in our lives, but also against the Lord Jesus. Full-scale attack. But the Lord Jesus was strong in counteracting temptations of the devil by quoting Scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. So our key to controlling our thought life is in what? Memorizing and applying the Word of God. Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 and 11. So here it is. How do we win? Receive, resolve, resist, rely, and run. Amen? Run. Do not stay in the place where temptation rises. Don't even look in that direction. Proverbs 4:25. So in Genesis 39, we find, what Joseph do? He ran. He ran from that scheming wife of Potiphar. And we find all these different kinds of temptations. But flee also youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. I was witnessing some Jehovah's Witnesses on the streets of Canada, and they got so fed up. Lots of times they just pack their bags and head for their car. They didn't want to talk to somebody who knew the Bible and wanted to see them saved. So these two, they said, "You are the devil," as they're running away. I said, "Bible says resist the devil, and who's going to flee away?" But here we go. Receive, resolve, resist, rely, run from any kind of situation like that. We don't have any time to stop and ponder and think about the pros and cons and that kind of thing. When the bait's already before us, we have to already know, I'm going to get out of there. So you see how, you know, Satan, what's he doing? Satan is chumming the hole in our lives. Satan's putting all that out there, all that pretty stuff, all that attractive kind of thing. But he's a patient fisherman. And so people, just like the fish, become insensitive to sin. Biting after the bait, go biting after the lures. Lots of times sin is a popular thing to do, but there's a danger being suddenly, what's Proverbs say, destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. So here we are. Be sober, because the old devil is fishing around, an all-out effort to destroy you and me, and how we respond make all the difference. Or how it goes in the future. Aren't you glad for winners? I mean, we know a lot of losers. We know a lot of losers in our generation, but praise God, we know some winners. I got to think of the deacons here, for example. Mark, you probably haven't traveled like we have as missionaries, church, a lot of places. I mean, we've been a lot of places, but many times these sound systems, they have noises that hurt your ears, or you can't hear the people talk, or they're not ready, and they're not on time, and they're not watching. Mark back there, he doesn't miss a beat. I don't know if you know how good he does on that, but he does it, and he does it right. He does it well. I don't know if you've ever been out here and Bob's mowing the grass, but man, talk about man in motion. There's a lot of grass. There's a lot of ground to cover. He's moving. So I see him here, he's almost at the end of his grass mowing, But he's still moving like he just got there within, 15 minutes earlier or something like that. So a lot of us, we don't see what he's doing, but he's doing it. Lots of times, this white car's out, white van's out here, Jim's in here, behind these doors, long before anybody else, long after other people, or on a day when no one else is here, working on the church. And we noticed that long ago when we were just, staying in your prophet's chamber. Like, wow, look at the dedication. And so things get cleaned up way back in there in these hallways and rooms that a lot of us don't even know about that, but very carefully that is accomplished. And Lyle, ministering to us here in a song service, and ministering to children, we benefit from his talents and his devotion to the Lord. As he drives from Missouri, come to church over here in Kansas, he enjoys. I saw them a long time ago on Bible college campus, and they're just smiling young couple, Lyle and Joyce. Now it's a reunion time. Lyle's still Lyle, and Joyce is still rejoicing, so it's like Lyle and rejoice. Isn't that what she's doing? Rejoicing in the Lord. Yeah, that's her heart. Lyle, too. Praise God, we got a lot to rejoice in. Got a great Savior. And tonight, we also have a time of fellowship after the service because we have some good food back there in the kitchen. You're all invited to attend. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you. What a great God you are. How faithful you are. And God, you've shown us the process of how to overcome temptation. We need not be a victim. Guard us lest we should be destroyed. It's no small thing. Means everything. Means everything in our lives for a successful, fruitful life. And to hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you for being our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open your hymnals to 303, please. People need the Lord. 303.